Sairam children, hope you all had a good time since we met you last week.
Sairam children, and it feels like we met you just yesterday. That's how fast time is moving.
Especially in Parthi, because it is the most happening place and we are getting ready for another grand celebration.
And the one coming up this time is the festival of Christmas.
Yes, children. The decorations have already started appearing and in a few days, the ashram is going to sparkle with lights, joy and festivity.
And for Christmas, it looks like Prashanti becomes a little more colder than usual. And then the carols and music and...
Wait, Prem. Christmas is next week. A little more patience.
Yes, Ganesh. We still have a week, don't we? So children, what should we speak to you about? All right, Ganesh. Let me ask you a question.
Oh, hope it's not about Christmas.
No, not about Christmas. We've had our doctor speak to us about the various sense organs, isn't it?
Yes. She so beautifully taught us about each sense organ and its speciality.
Yes. Tell me, which is the sense organ which is most important for, let's say, an artist, say a painter?
Of course, it is the eye. A painter's art is visual, so sight is the most crucial for him or for her.
That's right. What about for an orator? Isn't it the tongue?
Yes. It's the tongue that helps us form our words.
Okay. Tell me, what is the most important sense organ for a musician?
Oh, definitely the ear. It is the hearing that is needed for composing and playing music. Why, even for tuning an instrument, you need a good ear, isn't it?
Yes. But do you know, Ganesh, today is the birthday of one of the greatest composers of all times. And he was almost completely deaf. And that too, he was deaf for almost 2 decades of his life.
Oh my God. Yes. I know who you are talking about, Prem. And some of the best of his compositions he created after losing his hearing.
Children, he is none other than Ludwig van Beethoven. Today we celebrate the 245th birth anniversary of this all-time great composer.
Beethoven was a German composer born in the Bonn. In the peak of his career, he started losing his hearing.
Can you imagine someone for whom music was his very life? Not just life, it was his very profession too. Who had learnt music from a very, very young age and began performing even as a little child. He started losing his ability to hear.
In the peak of his career, when he was in his early 30s, Beethoven realized that he was losing his ability to hear. And understandably, he was heartbroken. He would write letters to his friends and brothers how bad he felt about this ailment.
It is believed that he even lost all interest in living. And children, remember that this is the early 1800s, 1801 to be precise. The field of medicine was not as advanced as it is today. So he was so heartbroken that he even contemplated ending his life.
But he did not, children. And thank God he did not. Because some of the best music that Beethoven gave the world was after this period. He was such a genius that he continued to create music. The last 2 decades of his life, it is said, he was almost completely deaf. But the music he created then is immortal.
There is a very, very beautiful anecdote from his life. One of the last grand performances of his symphonies was when he was alive, happened in the year 1824. Just 3 years before he passed away.
The presentation was the 9th symphony composed by him. Beethoven was on stage with all the artists and he and the conductor were facing the musicians. As we generally see in such performances, after they completed the performance, the whole arena burst into thunderous applause. But Beethoven did not hear a single clap.
One of the singers in the orchestra came up to Beethoven and gently turned him around so that he would be able to see the audience. And when he turned around, he saw that the whole audience were on their feet, clapping. and many were even crying.
What a great lesson it is for all of us children. We should never ever give up when we face problems and difficulties in life. Who knows, these very problems may bring out the best from within us, isn't it?
And how can we speak so much about Beethoven and not play his music for you children? So before we move on in the program, let's listen to this small piece from that very famous Ninth Symphony composed by Beethoven.
Wonderful music just can't imagine Beethoven composed it without the power of hearing.
Yes, Ganesh. Children, that is why it is always a good thing to revisit history, isn't it? We can learn many, many important lessons from it.
But don't get too lost in the past too. For as Swami would say, nothing is more important than the present.
Yes, this moment is the most precious gift we have. And isn't that why health is the most important too?
Yes, children. There is no point in looking back and saying, oh, I wish I had taken good care of my health. And that is why we make it a point to always teach you something about health, isn't it?
And do you remember what the doctor spoke to you about the last week? Okay, just to refresh your memory, she spoke about a very important process in the human body called homeostasis.
It is the multidimensional process by which the body's temperature is maintained. Today, she is going to continue with the topic, but more about what happens when the external temperature varies or when you have a high body temperature.
And we do hope you will find it interesting as always. So, over now to Dr. Lata Shri from the Shri Sathya Sai General Hospital.
Om Shri Sai Ram, offering most humble pranams at the divine lotus feet of our ever-present Lord. Sai Ram children, today I will deal with certain clinical conditions associated with temperature variation in the body. And one of the commonest conditions is fever. Fever is also known as pyrexia. Fever is when a human body temperature goes above the normal range of 36 to 37 degrees centigrade or 98 to 100 degree Fahrenheit. It is not a disease by itself. It is a clinical symptom and a sign. As the body temperature goes up, there may be a sensation of cold that we experience until the temperature stops rising. And fever or elevated body temperature is one of the ways our immune system attempts to combat any infection in the body. Usually, the rise in body temperature helps the individual resolve an infection. However, at times, fever may be so high that it can become very serious and lead to complications. As long as the fever is mild, we do not generally need to try and bring the temperature down. If the fever is not severe, it is probably having an effect in neutralizing the bacterium or virus that is causing infection in the body. Certain medications that are used to bring a fever down are called antipyretics. If the fever is causing too much of undue discomfort, then an antipyretic is recommended. Other two conditions associated with temperature increase in the body are called heat exhaustion and heat stroke. These two conditions occur when the body becomes too hot. This happens during a heat wave or when we are exposed to very hot climate, and it can also occur when we are doing very strenuous physical exercise. Heat exhaustion is a condition in which the body becomes hot and we start losing water and salt from the body, so we generally feel unwell. Heat stroke is where the body is no longer able to cool itself and body temperature becomes dangerously high, and sunstroke is when heat stroke is caused by exposure to direct sunlight. Heat stroke is a less common condition, but it is more serious because it can put a lot of strain on vital organs like brain, health, heart, lungs, liver and kidneys, and it can be life-threatening at times. If heat exhaustion is not promptly spotted and treated, then it can lead to heat stroke. Some of the signs and symptoms of heat exhaustion include We feel tired and weak. We may feel dizzy. We may have a headache, muscle cramps. We can sweat profusely and we feel generalized feeling of ill-being is there. We can have intense thirst and the pulse can become rapid and thready and even there can be drop in our blood pressure. And we also urinate less often when we have heat exhaustion or heat stroke and we can have high colored or dark colored urine. If left untreated, more severe symptoms of heat stroke can develop like confusion, disorientation, fits or seizures and even loss of consciousness. Whenever you notice that someone has signs of heat exhaustion, you should immediately get that person to lie down in a cool place like a room with sufficient air conditioning or somewhere wherever there is sufficient shade. And you must remove all the unnecessary heavy clothing of the person. And you must try to cool the skin with whatever is available like a cool wet sponge or flannel. Cold packs can be applied around the neck and in the armpits. And you can wrap the person in a cool, wet sheet. You can also try to fan the person and this will help the water to evaporate and this will help the skin to cool down. And you must give him plenty of liquids to drink. Water, especially oral rehydration solution or ORS is very useful in these conditions. And you must stay with the person until he is better. And if the person doesn't recover within 30 minutes of time, then you must immediately transport him to an emergency medical facility. Or if you notice serious symptoms like loss of consciousness, confusion or fits, you must immediately rush the person to medical emergency department. And you must continue all the treatment of reducing the body temperature when you shift him to the hospital. Although anyone can develop heat exhaustion or heat stroke during a heat wave or while doing heavy strenuous exercise or when exposed to hot weather, some people are at higher risk. They include babies and young children, elderly people, people with a long-term health condition like diabetes or heart or lung ailment, and people who are already ill and dehydrated, and people doing strenuous exercise for long periods like military soldiers, athletes, hikers and manual workers. And you are more likely to experience the problems when you are dehydrated or when there is little breeze or ventilation or even when you are wearing tight, restrictive clothing. How to prevent heat exhaustion and heat stroke? You should stay out of heat first of all and keep out of sun between 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. in peak summer. If you have to go out in heat, you must try to walk in the shade, apply a sunscreen, wear a hat or a scarf and also use sunglasses. And you must avoid extreme physical exertion during peak summer. You should always wear light, loose-fitting cotton clothes and have plenty of water, cool drinks and avoid excess of caffeine. And you can also have foods like salads and fruits with a very high water content. And you must try to have cool shower or bath as often as possible when the atmospheric temperature is very high. And if you are not urinating frequently or if your urine is dark, it is a sign that you are becoming dehydrated and you need to drink plenty of liquids. And we should also try to keep the environment cool. We can turn off non-essential lights and electrical equipment as they generate heat. And we can also keep some indoor plants and bowls of water in the house as these can cool the air within the house. When the temperature in the body rapidly goes down, what we get is cold injuries. Cold injuries are usually due to prolonged exposure to cold temperature. However, they can also occur with brief exposure to extremely cold conditions. They occur because our body's ability to generate heat and to limit the heat loss is quite limited. For heat regulation, as I already told you last week, our body uses both the core, that is the internal organs like brain and the heart, and also the extremities like skin, muscles, and our hands and feet. Cold injury to our body's core is called hypothermia, and when cold injury affects our body's extremities, it is called frostbite. Both hypothermia and frostbite can occur together or they can occur separately also. To help someone with hypothermia, we must immediately contact emergency medical system and get medical aid for the person. And we should remove all cold and wet clothing on the body and replace it with a warm, dry clothing to prevent further heat loss. Frostbite is a localized cold injury to a body part that occurs with or without hypothermia. Frostbite commonly affects specific body parts like the feet, the toes, the hands and the fingers, and also the tip of the nose. In some instances, tissue damage could be so extensive that the affected part may even require amputation or removal. To prevent hypothermia and frostbite in extreme cold conditions, we must always wear layered heavy woolen clothing to create insulation. We should also remember to wear gloves, a cap or a hood, and multiple layers of socks. And we should make sure to change wet garments promptly and drink plenty of fluids even during cold season to avoid dehydration. These are some of the common conditions associated with heat regulation in the body. That's all for the day. Jai Sai.
So on behalf of all of you children, we thank the doctor for this wonderful talk. Prem, we heard how when the temperature around us changes drastically, when it becomes too cold or too hot, it is dangerous to our health, right?
Yes, Ganesh. There's only a limit up to which we can manage temperature change.
So similarly, let's say if we consider this planet Earth to be one being, wouldn't it also be affected when the temperature around changes drastically?
Yes, Ganesh. And what you have raised is a very important point indeed. In fact, we are already facing a dangerous change in temperature, aren't we?
Yes, and that is what we call global warming. Of course, we have spoken about this earlier too. Children, just like how when it becomes too warm around us, we can fall sick or develop other health issues, the Earth too suffers when this warming happens.
And it is believed most of this is caused because of human activity, because of our cars, industries, and even our eating habits. Do you know, children, that the meat industry is one of the major contributors to pollution?
No wonder Swami encouraged all of us to be vegetarians. And children, the elements like water and air do not know any distinction of continent or country. It is not that the warming caused by industries in, say, Germany will cause warming only in Germany.
The effect will be felt by all of us. That is why if we have to take any corrective measure, it has to be done unitedly, not by just an industrially advanced country or other developing countries.
And that is why recently a United Nations Climate Change Conference was held in Paris. It just concluded last week.
There were representatives from 196 countries in this conference, children. And the discussion was about how we all can come together and handle this situation of climate change.
Generally, children, when we want to buy a car, we will see if we have enough money to buy. So, let us say there is a very rich family of five people. then they can say, we are rich enough, so we will buy 5 guards and each one can take one.
But imagine what a waste it is, children. So it is not about whether one person can afford it or not, whether you or me can afford it or not. It is about how much waste will that be for the world's resources and how much pollution would it cause.
Of course, children. You may not have much to do with this topic right now. Let us talk about something you all can relate to. That is wastage of food. You may think, I can afford this. What is there if I waste a little bit?
But it is not about if you and me can afford, as I said. It is about if we as humanity can afford to waste our resources. Keep this as a general rule, children. Never ever waste anything in life.
Be it money, food, resources or time. In fact, this is an important teaching of Swami too.
And that is what is today's story is about too. It is about how one very, very rich person who is still not prepared to waste anything.
Prem, don't tell the story. Let them listen from Sumana Madam. And children, there is one more nice twist in the story. You listen to it. We will talk about it after the story.
Children, today let us hear a wonderful story from the Mahabharata. It was a time when the Kurukshetra war was over and King Yudhishthira was ruling over the kingdom of Hastinapura with all his kindness and generosity towards his subjects. All was going on fine, but once there was a severe drought, and eventually the drought resulted in a disastrous famine in some remote parts of the kingdom. The situation was grave as thousands of people died of starvation. The king sent relief supplies to the province, but unfortunately there was no surplus food also anywhere else in the kingdom. And the drought did not spare the crops too. Now, King Yudhishthira was in a dilemma and he did not know how to save his kingdom. He met a hermit and requested him for advice on how to overcome the situation. After thinking over the problem, the sage replied that there was only one way to solve the problem right away. He said that Kubera, the Lord of Wealth, had a secret granary hidden deep into the Himalayas. He asked the king to approach Lord Kubera and explain to him the serious situation. The Lord would definitely spare some food grain for the needy subjects once he was convinced of the disaster. So, in order to save the lives of the citizens, King Yudhishthira sent his younger brother Bhima to Lord Kubera. And it was with a request for supply of 1,000 cartloads of grain for their subjects. Hearing all this, Bhima wondered, if Kubera had a hidden granary, he must be surely miserly. It surely proved that he would not like to share his bounty with others. Still, Bhima did not argue with his brother. Rather, he obeyed his elder brother's order and quickly set out on his mission. The journey up the Himalayas was stressful and tiring, but Bhima finally located the secret granary. As Bhima was just about to enter the granary, he observed from behind the door an unexpected scene unfolding inside. Lord Kubera was sitting amidst countless sacks of grain, and was monitoring the storage of the stocks. One of the servants, pointing to a sack, informed Kubera, "Lord, there is more sand than grain in this. Shall I discard the sack?" Lord Kubera refused and asked the servant to bring the sack to him. Then he emptied it on the floor, and can you imagine? Kubera sat down to sift out the grains from the sand. Bhima, seeing this, felt utterly disgusted. He thought to himself, "This man, who owns more wealth than anyone else in the three worlds, is struggling to save a bag full of grain?" Bhima was assured of Kubera's greed and felt it would be pointless to ask him for 1,000 carts of grain. His brother Yudhishthira was wrong to have sent him there expecting such a huge donation from a miser Kubera. He was about to turn and leave the granary when suddenly Lord Kubera called him in. Lord Kubera rushed towards the door to welcome Bhima and took him in. Now with no choice, Bhima followed him inside. Kubera offered him a comfortable seat within the granary itself. Then after a small conversation, Kubera asked Bhima the purpose of his visit. He hesitated to tell Kubera the purpose. He felt sure that this Kubera would give some or the other excuse to deny his request. Anyway, finally, Bhima explained about the drought situation in his kingdom and requested Kubera to spare some grain for them from his present stock. At this, Bhima paused and looked expectantly at Kubera, guessing any moment now he will start giving his excuses. But Kubera neither gave excuses nor hesitated. He immediately called his assistants and ordered them to send emergency supplies to the area at once. He asked a caravan of 1,000 carts to be assembled and loaded with the sacks of grain and to set off to the land of Yudhishthira immediately. Bhima was surprised. He was surprised with Kubera's generosity. Anyway, he accepted the grains and they started on the journey back. On the way, Bhima saw that due to heavy rains, the road had become fully muddy and it was impossible for the bullocks to pull the carts on. Not knowing what to do, Bhima went back and explained the situation to Kubera. Kubera's assistant suggested the only solution was to bring sand and cover the muddy patch and then proceed. But without a moment's thought, Kubera hurriedly gave orders. "Throw the sacks from the first 500 carts on the road and spread the grain. Let the remaining 500 carts move over it. Bhima, don't worry, I will dispatch another 500 carts of grain immediately." Bhima thanked him and got ready to leave. But before leaving, he could no longer suppress his curiosity. He asked, "Kubera, when I entered the granary, I saw you were unwilling to let go of even that sack of grain, almost unfit to eat due to the stones in it. But now, you readily came forward to help us, and you did not hesitate in the least in ordering your men to throw away the sacks of grain to make sure there is no delay. I am truly shocked." Kubera then explained to Bhima that every grain was precious and every valuable thing should be given its due importance, no matter how small it is. every grain counts, because every single grain goes towards making a huge heap of grain. He further explained that valuable things are treasured for further utility. Grains are meant to feed the hungry, and it is useless to send people food after they are dead of starvation. Thus, the grain that is sent will be no better than sand, for it did not serve its purpose. Kubera concluded by saying that when one is stocking up on something, he should be careful not to lose or waste any part of it. But when one gives, he must be magnanimous. Bhima felt a strong respect for Kubera and bowed to him. The lesson that Bhima learned from Kubera ages ago is something that is still relevant in today's world. Children, thrift is not to be confused with stinginess. And there is another lesson to be learned too. Let me tell you another very insightful incident. Once, a person saw a very disturbing scene. Some children were fighting with street dogs to grab crumbs of food from discarded leaf plates near a dustbin. This person felt distressed. "What? These children are snatching waste food from these dogs? Why has such a pathetic situation come?" Suddenly, this person felt a gentle touch on the shoulder. He turned around, and whom did he find? Swami himself. You see, children, a question had been asked, and the answer the Lord chose to give. Swami explained, these children had spent their earlier lives in ease and comfort. They showed a lot of disrespect for the food they ate, pecking a little from here, a little from there, and pushing the plates away, wasted a lot of food. And in this birth, they are in a situation devoid of good food. So, they are picking up food which they had recklessly wasted earlier. Isn't this a very big revelation? So children, never waste food. Every effort of yours counts, because it is a small drop of water that makes the mighty ocean, right? So let us use our discretion and try to save every bit of valuable resource. At the same time, let us not forget to be generous when there is a need to share with others, whether it is our love, time, money, or any other help. So, with this, it is Sairam from me, children.
Did you hear that wonderful story, children? One lesson was that we should not waste anything. That was, of course, obvious. But then, why did Lord Kubera not hesitate to throw the grains on the road?
The best way to use a resource is not always storing it forever. You may save money, save food, but if that money and food is going to simply be of no use to anyone else, what is the point?
So, firstly, we should save, conserve, and not waste. But secondly, we should use it in the service of others. That is the best way to use them.
Once, Swami asked a group of devotees in the interview room, "Can any of you say what is the best path to God?"
Many people gave many answers. Some said bhajans, some said meditation, and some even said yoga.
Swami said, No. The easiest and the best way to God, best way to God is to love all and serve all.
Love all, serve all, listen to the call of the Lord.
life in all reality. Know right now that we are free. That's the way of the Lord. Love all, serve all, listen to the call of the Lord. Love all, serve all, be willing to see the one in your fellow man. Every morn when we open our eyes, life is filled with abundant surprise, just waiting for us to recognize that's the way of the Lord. Love on, serve on, listen to the call of the Lord. Love on, serve on, be willing to see the one in your fellow man. You and I are here to bring the light of God into everything. Let Him be the song we sing. That's the way of the Lord. Love all, serve all, listen to the call of the Lord. Love all, serve all, be willing to see the one. Willing to see the one. Be willing to see the one in your fellow man. Be willing to see the one in your fellow man.
We learned a lot of nice things today, didn't we, children?
But we still are not done with our children's program. We could not have a children's conversation last week because of the time constraint. But this time, we sure are going to have our favorite children's conversation.
And the guest for the day is a little friend from Hyderabad with whom I had a conversation probably a couple of months back.
So, over now for the last segment of this week's Children's Hour.
Salam, dear listeners. Welcome again for a children's conversation. And today we have with us a very little, bright little kid. His smile is so bright it can light up the room. So join me in welcoming Soham. Salam, Soham.
Salam.
So, Soham, how old are you?
7 years old.
7 years old. Wow. So which class do you go to?
Third class.
Third standard. School?
Silver Oaks.
Silver Oaks. So where is that school?
In Bachupalli.
Hyderabad.
Yes.
So Soham is from Hyderabad.
Yes.
So Soham, what is the meaning of your name? I asked you yesterday.
I am God.
Wow. So you found out. So Soham means I am God.
Yeah.
Such a sweet name. Anybody asked you before? Who kept this name? It's such a nice name.
My father and my mother.
Anybody asked you in school and all that? What is this name, Soham?
No one asked.
No one asked you. So, Soham, what do you like to do other than going to school? Do you like going to school?
Yes.
You like going to school?
Yes.
Why? What is nice about school?
Activities.
Like?
Like playing outside, swimming, skating.
Studying doesn't feature in that.
Study is there, but activities are little.
So, you like to do activities more?
Yes.
You like to go out and play?
Yeah.
So, what's your favorite game?
Cricket.
Cricket. So obvious, no? All of us should like cricket. So what do you like about cricket? Bowling, batting?
Both.
You like both. So what do you like about the game of cricket? Why it is so interesting?
It's so interesting with concentration, hitting the ball with the bat, throwing the ball with concentration.
Okay. So concentration alone is enough?
Yeah.
So if one day I don't know the game of cricket, if I just have concentration, is it enough?
You need to learn all the rules.
So you need to learn all the rules. So if you want to learn all the rules, what should we do?
See in the internet.
See in the internet. So you can do without a coach.
Yeah.
You don't need a coach. But even if you read all the rules in the internet, still can you be able to play cricket?
Yeah.
Just by reading.
Suppose practice.
Yeah, so practice is important, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, everybody will read in the internet about cricket and become a cricket player.
No.
So, do you practice?
Yeah.
So, whatever we have to do, we need to do practice.
Yeah.
So what about studies? There also you practice?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Math, science, English.
So what's your favorite subject?
Math.
Maths. Why maths is so favorite for you?
All multiplication sums.
Okay.
Solving.
Okay.
Yeah.
But usually children are a little scared of maths, no? Soham is not scared of maths?
No.
You like maths?
Yeah.
So have any idea what you want to become when you grow up?
Yeah.
What?
Cricketer or scientist.
Cricketer or scientist?
Yeah.
Can you be both?
No.
Why?
Yes,
so you can play cricket in the morning, in the evening you can be a scientist. Possible, right?
Not possible. Scientists need a lot of things and it takes a day to make a thing.
So scientists both need a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Right? So who's your favorite cricketer?
Virat Kohli or Sachin Tendulkar.
Virat Kohli or Sachin Tendulkar. So I have to choose. Who is your favorite, I'm asking?
Sachin Tendulkar more.
Sachin Tendulkar more. You know any scientist's name?
I know only one.
More.
An astronaut.
What's his name?
Abdul Kalam.
Abdul Kalam. So what did Abdul Kalam do?
He was first to design a rocket and send it into space in India.
Okay. What's the difference between an astronaut and a scientist?
Astronauts go to space, research about things.
Okay.
And scientists just find, research things, discover things and make them.
Okay, so scientist does more of lab work.
Yeah.
And the astronaut goes to space.
Yeah.
Okay. So yesterday your father was telling me that you're the spiritual coordinator of your house.
Yeah.
What do you do at home?
My father, after coming back to school, I bath, dress up, and my father will tell me some, I'll do homework, my father will tell me some stories.
Okay.
I'll see some Uncle Land Tales, Satya to Sai some.
So, what's your favorite story in Uncle Land Tales?
Echo of Love.
Lot of our listeners were hearing now, many of them might not know about Uncle Land Tales. So can you tell them what is this Uncle Land Tales?
Uncle Land Tales is a small program where each video will be 2 to 1 minute.
Okay.
So we can see and learn things.
So what is it about?
It's about some people in a place.
Okay. So it's all little
story.
Value stories.
Yeah.
Okay. So where do you see them? You didn't tell them that.
I see them on a laptop or an iPad.
Okay. You have to go to the Radio Sai website and see.
Yeah.
Right? So you know to handle a laptop and tablet yourself.
Yeah. But I don't know the password.
Don't know the password. That's the only thing you don't know. Otherwise you'll know it full and full.
Yeah.
Okay. But why do you watch these kind of cartoons? There's so many other interesting cartoons, no? Why are you listening to value stories and all that?
Others also I watch and read comics.
Okay.
Those also.
So you said that you listen to another program or you see another program, no? Satya to Sai.
Yeah.
What is that about?
It's about Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba's olden days, what he did.
His childhood. So do you remember any one incident which you liked a lot?
Yeah.
Which one?
Ragi Sankati.
Ragi Sankati. What is that incident?
It's a food which Baba ate every day, morning for breakfast and go to school.
Okay. What is special about Ragi Sankati, do you know?
No.
What is Ragi Sankati?
A food item.
It's a food item. It's a very, very simple food item.
Yeah, but when normally it would be as hard as a cricket ball. So when we pour water, it would get soft and we put salt, mix it and eat.
Right. So that's your favorite incident.
Yeah.
From Satya to Sai.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you go to Balvikas?
Not, I didn't go.
You didn't go. So what do you learn in school other than your sports activities, other than your studies? Do you learn anything else?
Yes.
What do you learn?
I learn some activities. Teacher would give some free time and she would play a movie. Until then the teacher would do the corrections. So we would watch the movie.
So you like all that only about school, no? Studying maths and all.
Studying also I like.
Tell me, which one you like more? You like studying more or you like all these activities more?
Both. Equal. Equal.
Equal. So suppose tomorrow if they say that no more activities, only studying in school.
Not. I don't like that, but if it was balanced, a little bit studies, a little bit activities.
Okay, so everything should be balanced.
Yeah.
So that is your verdict.
Yeah.
So who's your favorite teacher at school?
My own teacher.
Your own teacher, your class teacher?
Yeah.
Why, what is so good about her?
She would keep watch movies, all those.
So she's more lenient with all of you? More kind?
Yeah.
So at home, who teaches you, mother or father?
Both.
Both of them. So who is a better teacher?
If my mother went out to some market, my father would teach me. If both went outside, my sister would teach me.
Your sister also teaches you?
Yeah.
So who is a better teacher, mother, father or sister?
All equal.
No, you'll have to pick one now.
My sister.
Your sister is better. Why? In what way is she better?
In modern ways, she learned so she could tell me in the modern ways.
So your mother and father are outdated, you're saying?
Yeah,
they're too old.
Yeah.
So what is the difference? You're saying that modern ways she teaches you. So what way you learn better?
There's a new subject in our school, UOI. Okay. So my mother and my father didn't learn that subject. It's not there. So my sister learned it. So she can teach me that subject. Okay. I don't know much about that.
Okay. So suppose you go to school and the teacher teaches you a lesson.
Yeah.
So do you think that teaching should be done only in the school, or it's okay if they give homework and all that?
It's okay. If they give homework.
It's okay, so you like to do homework?
Yeah.
Good. Then we'll tell your teacher that Suhum likes a lot of homework. So okay. Give him more.
Not much I like. A little bit homework, a little bit classwork. Like that.
So what do you do otherwise after you come back in the evening? How do you spend your evening?
I do my homework. After that, my father will tell some practical stories, moral stories. And I would see some uncle and tell at the evening after telling Sai Gayatri 21 times.
That is before you sleep? Before you sleep, you chant Sai Gayatri 21 times.
Yeah. After that, I would see uncle and tales. Before Sai Gayatri, I would see Satya to Sai sometime.
Okay. So in the morning also, do you do prayer?
Yeah.
What do you do in the morning?
Morning, chant 2-3 slokas, one for Ganesh, one for Saraswati, and one for Brahma, and a bhajan, sing a bhajan, and then
can you chant one of those slokas? What do you chant in the morning? Yeah, tell us.
Om Shuklam Vara Dharam Vishnum Shashi Varnam Chatur Pujam Prasanavadanam Dhyayat Saiva Viknopashanti Agajanana Padmarkam Gajanana Mahanisham Anekadantam Bhaktana Mekadantam Upasmahe.
Oh, very nice.
This is the Ganesh Loka.
Ganesh Loka, yeah. Yeah. So every day you chant.
Yeah.
So you pray every day before you start your day. Why should we pray in the mornings?
I don't know if you know.
Have you any time forgotten to pray in the night? Or you always remember to pray?
That's Sai Gayatri.
Yeah. So any time you've forgotten?
No.
You've fallen asleep without chanting?
No.
No, you always chant.
Yeah.
It's a very good thing. So why should we do prayer in the morning? Why should we do prayer in the night?
My father planned to do it at the night, and morning compulsory we have to do anyway.
So your father has taught you good habits.
Yeah.
No. So why we pray is morning you should pray and say, God, let my day be good.
Yeah.
The night you say, God, I offer the day to you, whatever I did in the day.
Yeah. We do prayer morning because in the schools, if they keep a sudden exam and we don't know the answers, God can help us.
So beforehand itself you invest in a prayer to God.
Yeah.
So suddenly anything happens, God will be there to help you.
Yeah.
So you said the meaning of your name Soham is?
I'm God.
So what is the relationship between you and God then? When you pray to God,
Meaning is not enough, but real God is enough for us.
Okay. No, when you pray to God,
yeah.
See, when you speak to your father, you're speaking like it's your father. When you speak to your mother, it's like your mother.
Yeah.
When you speak to God, what relation is there?
We speak to God, He can help us something.
Mm-hmm.
Exams.
Yes, even your father can help you when there's an exam. Even your mother can help you when there's
an exam. He cannot come to the exam hall and tell me the answers. But God can come and help me in the answers.
How God alone can come? See, exam hall, nobody is permitted. No, God alone, how will come?
He can come anyway.
Why? How God can come? You have to explain to me. How can God come there when your mother and father are not allowed?
God is formless. He can come from anywhere. From heaven to here also, He can come at any cost.
So that's why when we pray, we believe that God will come and help us.
Yeah.
No, and there is no place where He cannot come. Is there any place like that where probably God cannot come?
No.
There's no place?
No.
Anything which God cannot help us with?
No.
So He can help us with everything?
Yeah.
So that's why we pray to God?
Yeah.
No? What we cannot do, what people like around us cannot help us?
Around us can help us a little bit in some other things.
But not like God?
Yeah.
That's why it's always good to?
Pray to God.
Pray to God. Especially when you're young. Right? See, I think that's the secret behind Soham's glow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Soham, it was so nice talking to you. Did you enjoy talking to us?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so all the very best. May you become a cricketer and a scientist.
Thank you.
Okay. Sairam.
Sairam.
And that was little Soham from Hyderabad. We hope you all also watch the Uncle Lion's Tales on our Radio Sai website, children.
If you haven't, you must. They are very short cartoons on values we all must learn. I'm sure you all will like them, just like how Soham did.
And there are more than 30 cartoons for you to enjoy. And we will be posting a new cartoon every Saturday.
That conversation also brings us to the end of this week's Children's Hour. We thank all of you for being with us.
And if you have anything else to say to us, any questions for the doctor or any specific topic you would like us to talk about, you can write to us.
And you can either email us or ask your parents to email us at listener@radiosai.org. That is listener@radiosai.org.
That would be great, children. We would love to talk to you about things you all find interesting.
And as we say bye to you, we will leave you with another very famous composition by Beethoven, Symphony No. 5.
Till we meet you next week, be good children and have a lot of fun.
Sai Ram, children.
Sai Ram.
Thank you.